God, we just sang a song of praise to you that acknowledges that you're the God of the world and you love all people. And because of that, you love this city. It's not that our city is any special than other cities, but you love the people here and you love this city. And you want to see this city live out your intentions. And so, Lord, we know there are greater things that can be done and that you want to do and stir our hearts as your church to want to be a part of that and to want to help bring that about. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In 2007, there's a significant thing that happened in our world, a critical marker, you might say. For the very first time, there were more people that were living in cities than there were in rural areas. Sociologists have noticed this trend. It's been growing all along the way, but in 2007 is the time where it really tipped over and where the majority of people now today live in urban areas. And I think we can even see that maybe in our own makeup. I want to do a little poll here. How many of you grew up in a small town? Small town in the sense of less than 50,000 people. Raise your hand. Wow. That's a lot. That's more than I thought. But here you can see the trend just among us. All grew up in small cities, myself included. And now we're living in the big city. Living in Fort Worth. Urbanization. I've even heard that sociologists have said that when we think about the future of our world, we're not going to think in the ramification of nations. We're going to think in the ramification of cities. Big cities like New York City and Los Angeles, Shanghai, Mexico City, Mumbai, India. These big, huge metropolitan areas that are going to become the cultural centers of the world. And that's how we're going to think of the world is the number of big cities, because that's where our world is moving to, out of rural areas into the big city. And for some of us, I think that's kind of exciting because there are some of us here that we love living in the city. We love being in a place where there's a lot of people. We love being in a place where there's a lot of things to do, a lot of places to go, a lot of malls to shop in. We like being in a place where there's a lot of entertainment, a lot of places where we can go to have fun, a lot of good restaurants to eat at. We love that big city life. Also, in a city is a place where you can find jobs. That's probably why most of us moved to the big city, right? Because we could find a job here, find a good job. And that's where jobs are most of the time. They're in cities. That's where we can find livelihood. That's where we can find employment. And so we like living in the city, and the idea that the world is moving to cities, that there's this urbanization going on, maybe it's kind of exciting to some of us because we like being in the city. But for others of us, maybe that's a little bit scary. Because if we had our druthers, we'd maybe not rather live in the city. We'd rather live out on a farm somewhere in a rural area. Because in a city, while there's a lot of wonderful things, there's also a lot of crime. There's often a lot of violence. In cities, there are a lot of poverty. There's poverty everywhere, but it just seems a little more pronounced in a big city. There's more homeless. There's more people struggling. Also, in a big city, there's a lot of diversity. In a rural area, pretty much everyone looks the same, comes from the same background, has the same value system. But when you come to the city, there's a lot of different kinds of people from a lot of different places. They have a lot of different ways of thinking, a lot of different value systems sometimes that conflict with ours. This really came home to me a few months back when the spring we did a special outreach activity at Daggett Middle School. And we were using different activities to teach Bible lessons to the students over there at Daggett Middle School. The Aggies for Christ came up and helped us with that. It was a wonderful day. But at Daggett Middle School, they have a special program that they call the Language Center, where people who are refugees to Fort Worth can come to that middle school and they can learn English and they can kind of be integrated back into, or at least into American culture. And so at that event that we had on Saturday, there were students from Kenya, students from Korea, students from Thailand, from South America, from literally all different nations of the world. They were all there that Saturday. They all go to school less than a mile from our building. And that made an impact on me that we live in a very diverse city. And there are peoples from all over the world who believe a number of different things, who come from many different backgrounds. And for some of us, that's kind of scary. We would just rather go back to the rural area where everybody looks the same, everyone believes the same things. And so there's a part of us that really looks forward to the idea of urbanization, but there's another part of us that is scared about it. Our city, Fort Worth, our home, it's the 16th largest city in the United States. For the past several years, it's been the fastest growing city, over 500,000 in the United States. According to the last census, population is somewhere up over 750,000 people, and I don't think the growth is going to stop. Tarrant County, the county we live in, population somewhere around 1.8 million people. It's a lot of people, and it's continuing to grow. And here we are at Southside, and we are right in the middle of this city. The way I like to describe our location is if you took a circle and you drew it around our building of a 3-mile radius, within that circle would be about 120,000 people. And that group of people would range from wealthy millionaires to homeless. Within that circle would be TCU, La Grande Plaza, the zoo, the hospitals, Union Gospel Mission, a lot of different kinds of things. Within that circle would be a lot of diversity. There would be white, African American, Hispanic, all within that circle. Within that circle, there would be a lot of fun things to do, like the zoo, for example. There'd be a lot of places to work, like the hospitals. I've heard that about 30,000 people work in the hospital district just a mile north of our building. 30,000 people. That's more than in my hometown. That work, my previous hometown, that work a mile north of our building. There's a lot of job opportunity within that 3-mile radius circle. But there's also a lot of crime, a lot of violence, a lot of poverty, a lot of diversity of beliefs, a lot of things that we maybe don't like. And so again, there's a part of us that really loves where we are, but then there maybe is another part of us that kind of doesn't really like where we are because of the bad things associated with it. And so the question that I want us to think about is, what do we do as a church? How do we respond to the fact that we are right in the middle of this diverse, growing city? How do we interact with this diverse area, urban area that we are a part of? How do we live out our calling to be a church of mission, mercy, and transformation when we are in the midst of Fort Worth, our home city? And over the next 3 weeks, we want to try to answer those questions. And I think a good place to start is in Jeremiah chapter 29. And if you would open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29, we're going to look at this passage together. This passage is really a letter. It's a letter that Jeremiah wrote to a group of Israelites who were going to be exiles. Now, in order for you to understand this letter, I need to give you a little background, so hang with me, and then I think you'll understand this passage a lot better. If you remember in the Old Testament, you have the nation of Israel, and that nation splits apart into a northern kingdom and to a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, they weren't a very good kingdom. They were always unfaithful to God. And so in 722 BC, the Assyrians come, destroy the northern kingdom, take the people into exile. But the southern kingdom lasts for a little bit longer. They had some good kings, guys like Hezekiah or Josiah, a few others. So they last a little bit longer until finally, in 587 BC, God says, I've had enough. You too have been unfaithful. And so he sends the Babylonians to come and to destroy Jerusalem and to take the people into exile. Now, around this time, Jeremiah is living, and he is a prophet. And he's been speaking this message that God is going to destroy the southern kingdom. He's going to destroy Jerusalem. You need to get ready because you are going into exile. And he knows that when the people of Israel go into exile, it's going to be very hard for them. And it's going to be hard for them mainly for two key reasons. It's going to be hard, first of all, because the people of Israel believed that if they went to exile, God had broken his promises. Because after all, God promised that he would give them a land. And they lived in that land, the land of Canaan, and God had given it to them. And God had promised his presence in the temple. They had a temple in Jerusalem, and God promised to be there. And then God promised a king. He promised that the line of David would never end. And so in their minds, they thought that God has got to be faithful to his promises. He's got to keep us in this land. He's got to keep his presence with us. He's got to keep the line of David secure. And so nothing should ever happen to us, no matter how terrible or sinful we become. Now, they were mistaken in their understanding, but that's what they thought. And so when the Babylonians come and they capture the king and they destroy the temple and they take them out of their land, it shakes their faith to the core. And they wonder, does God even care about us? Is God even alive? What is happening? And Jeremiah knew that they would struggle with that doubt. They would struggle with their faith. And so he wanted to write this letter to help them. The second reason why he knew this would be very hard for them is because he knew that they would be going into Babylon, a city where people worshiped false gods, a city where the king was Nebuchadnezzar, who thought that himself was a god in some sense, a city where there would be many different kinds of peoples who had different kinds of customs and traditions and beliefs and value systems. And he knew that Israel, when they went into Babylon and lived there as exiles, it would be so difficult for them to know how to handle being in this diverse, strange city. And so he writes this letter to try to help them navigate how to handle this new situation they're going to find themselves when they go into Babylon as exiles. And listen to what Jeremiah says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will have welfare. Jeremiah offers to them seven imperatives. See here on the screen. Build, live, plant, eat, take, seek, and pray. Now those first five imperatives really are about getting settled. He's telling the people, you're not going to be in exile just for a week or two. This is going to be a long-term affair. And so go ahead and build a house and live in it. Plant a garden. Start preparing for your livelihood. Develop friendships. Develop relationships. Give your children in marriage, because you're going to be here a long time. So go ahead and get settled. This isn't short. This is a long-term affair. But it's these last two imperatives that I really want us to look at. Because he says, seek and pray. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. That word welfare, in my version, is the Hebrew word shalom. Let's say it together, please. Shalom. When I'm done here, y'all gonna know a whole lot of Hebrew. I hope y'all appreciate that. Shalom. Now, maybe in your version, it's translated as peace or something else. But this word means more than peace. It means more than just not having war. Shalom means that, first of all, you have a right relationship with God. But secondly, it means that you have a right relationship with those around you. When there's shalom, it means that within a community, there is forgiveness. And there is acceptance, and there is unity. When there's shalom, it means that within the neighborhood, people care about one another and they love their neighbor and they watch out for their neighbor and they help those in need and they look after the vulnerable and they make sure that everyone's okay. That's what it means when there is shalom. And Jeremiah says, while you are in exile, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek the shalom of the city. I want you to do what you can to bring about the unity and the harmony and the love and the grace that God desires for a community, that God desires for a neighborhood. I want you to, for you to do your part in it and to try to bless those that are around you and make the lives of those around you better for God's glory. Now, hold on a second, Jeremiah. I can just see the exiles thinking this. Hold on a second. I mean, that's all well and good, but do you realize the city that you're talking about? You're not talking about Jerusalem. You're not talking about Bethel or some other Israelite city. This is Babylon. This is the city where Nebuchadnezzar is king, who doesn't follow you at all, erects a statue in his own honor. This is the city where people worship false gods. This is a city where there are so many different kinds of peoples who have different customs and beliefs and traditions that are far, far away from what you want, God. Why would we want to seek the shalom of Babylon? And yet Jeremiah says, this is what you do. This is the posture of God's people when they're in a foreign land. They seek to bring about the shalom of the city and the community that they're in, because in doing so, you will help the city find shalom, and in its shalom, you will have shalom as well. When I think about Southside and us being in this city, in this urban area, I think we have a number of options of how to respond to that. One option is to flee. To flee the city and move to another neighborhood or move to the suburbs where maybe the surroundings are a little bit more comfortable and familiar. And there's a lot of churches that do that. In fact, I've known several churches who have packed up their bags, sold their building, moved out from the center of the city to some other place because the area where they were was just too diverse, too urban, too whatever for them. And in fact, I would even venture to say that within our brotherhood of Churches of Christ, that is the norm. And to test out my theory, just next time you travel and you go to a big city, and I mean over 100,000 or 500,000, something like that, just go to the center of the city and try to find a Church of Christ. You probably won't find one. I was up in Minneapolis this past week. Minneapolis and St. Paul together maybe are about 500,000 people as a city. And the church that I went to was 20 minutes away in the suburbs. It was the closest one I could find. We just don't have a lot of congregations in the city because most of them have decided to flee. And that's one option. That's one way to deal with the changing urbanization that's going on in our culture, dealing with being in this strange surroundings. But there's another option, and that is to hunker down and kind of become a fortress. Build up high walls and try to get rid of all the evil that is around us in the city and just try to stay pure. Try to remove any sort of evil influence that might possibly touch us and just try to be as close to God as possible. And there's a lot of people who do this, a lot of families who do this, a lot of churches that do this. And typically when we choose this option, what we end up doing is we try to create a kind of an alternative society that is just purely Christian, to where we're only around Christians and we're only doing Christian things. And so we listen to Christian radio and watch Christian TV, and we only fellowship with other Christians, and we only do certain things with Christians. We only do business with Christians. Just everything in our life is insulated with this kind of Christian veneer. And I want you to hear me out here, because We do need to protect our families from evil influence. We do need to guard against that. But if that is the way we live completely, if we carry this number two option fully out completely, what ends up happening is we lose our sense of mission. Because our mission is to get rid of evil instead of what God's mission is, which is to redeem evil. See the difference? On one hand, we're trying to get rid of all the evil and just kind of become this little Christian enclave in the midst of this massive city, instead of trying to find ways to redeem the city, engage the city in some missional way. There's a lot of churches that hunker up and try to become a fortress. A lot of families do that. But when you do that and you lose your sense of mission, what happens to your faith is it wilts and it withers and it dies. And I've seen a lot of churches who have just tried to become that fortress and just try to hold on in the midst of this changing, scary city. And we're going to try to block out all the evil and hope that we can just hold on and be faithful. And in the meantime, what happens to their faith is that they die. Their church dies. But then there's a third option. And the third option is to assimilate. That is to just become like everyone around us. And maybe this might be the biggest temptation of all, to just, you know, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. When you're in the city, be as the city folk do, and just adapt all of the ways and the ideas and the values of everyone else around us. But the problem is when we do that, we lose our identity. We lose our distinctiveness. We forget who we are as God's people and as His church. But what I think is so powerful about Jeremiah 29 is that as he writes the letter to the exiles to help them understand how to handle being in this city of Babylon, he doesn't tell them to do one of these three things. He doesn't say, get out of there as quick as you can. I think there's some chariots going out here, you know, in 15 minutes, get on them and let's go back home. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hunker down and become a fortress. He doesn't say, build up big high walls around your houses and don't let anybody in unless they can say shalom or something like that. I mean, he doesn't tell them to become a fortress. He doesn't tell them to assimilate either. He doesn't say, I want you to become like a Babylonian. I want you to speak its language. I want you to adopt their ways of thinking and their values. He doesn't say that either. Instead, he opts for a fourth option that one writer calls faithful presence. Faithful presence. That on the one hand, he says, I want you to be present. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to develop friendships and relationships. I want you to be present in the city. I want you to be engaged in the city. But at the very same time, I want you to be faithful. I want you to keep your identity. I want you to seek the shalom of the city and pray to God on behalf of the city and to live out your faith in a robust and powerful way. And church, I think this is the way that we handle the urbanization of our world. This is how we respond to being in the city. It's not to run from the city. It's not to become a fortress. It's not to assimilate either. Instead, it's to be a faithful presence. To be present. To be engaged in our city. To be active in the affairs of Fort Worth. To let people know that we're unafraid. Unafraid for anyone to come here. We're unafraid to go into the dark corners of our city and shine the light of Jesus. That we're going to be present here. But at the very same time, we're going to be faithful. We're not going to back down from what we know to be true. Instead, we're going to speak the gospel. We're going to speak the truth in love. And we're going to be true to our identity as a child of God. That's what God calls us to seek the shalom of the city, to have this faithful presence in the midst of Fort Worth. And when we do that, when we display that faithful presence, people notice. People notice. Several weeks ago, I was invited to the grand opening out at One Safe Place, which is the Family Justice Center just down the street from our church building. And we've tried to be a partner to that organization. We've had some volunteers who have gone over there and volunteered there and tried to be a blessing to women who come there who have been abused. They want more volunteers from us, by the way. But they invited me to the grand opening, and there was a lot of big-name people from the city that were there. And I went in afterwards and was talking to some of the staff members at One Safe Place, asking them how things were going. And as I was talking to some of the staff members, in walks Ken Shedder, who is the director of Safe City Commission here in Fort Worth. He's been someone who's kind of spearheaded the One Safe Place initiative. And he walks in with two Bass brothers. Now, I don't know their first names, but I could tell they were Bass brothers. And if you don't know who Bass brothers are and you live here in Fort Worth, then you've been in a hole somewhere. Everybody knows who they are. They've been involved in the redevelopment of downtown and many other things. But he walks in with them, giving them a private tour of One Safe Place because they were very interested in this new organization and what it was doing to bless the city. And so Ken tells them about what goes on in the room that we're in, and he introduces them to all the staff members that were there, and he explains what they do. And then after that, he does this. He says, and in back there, I was kind of in the back, is Steve Clore. And he's the preacher at Southside Church of Christ. And they've had members of their church come down here and volunteer at One Safe Place and just really help us out and be a great blessing to us. And then this is an exact quote. He turns to both of them and he says, that is the most mission-minded church that I've ever known. Now, I hesitate in telling that story because it's not about us, folks. Anything we do needs to be to the glory of God. But I tell that story because when we are a faithful presence, people notice. You didn't leave. You stayed. You're involved in our city. You're present. And yet at the same time, you're faithful. You bring Jesus. You bring his love. You bring his truth. People notice that. And they're impacted by it. They're influenced by it. I told the story earlier about being over at Daggett Middle School and doing the Saturday games with Aggies for Christ and other things there with the students there. I got a note from one of the teachers. She said, we have never had that many volunteers come to our school and bless our children. We've never. People notice. They notice faithful presence. And Jeremiah says, that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to run from the city. I want you to be a faithful presence in the city and seek the shalom of the city. When we were trying to decide a graphic for these three sermons, we happened upon this picture. Now, Cindy made this picture look really good. But originally, this picture was taken by Wes Beard, part facilities manager, part photographer. Thank you, Wes. But we were doing some work on the steeple, and I think he was up on top in the big machine. Why were you up on top of the big machine, Wes, by the way? I'm just joking. But he got his camera, and he took a picture of our steeple. And as you can see, it's our steeple, but in the background is the skyline of our city. And I thought that was such a wonderful picture to illustrate what we want to be here at Southside, a place of mission, mercy, and transformation, a place where we are present in the city, where you can see the skyscrapers behind our steeple, but we're here, and we're trying to be faithful, trying to shine the light of Jesus. And I think that picture is doubly important because it's of our steeple. And as many of you know, our steeple is kind of like our brand, if we had one. It's on our bulletin. It's on our website. We always see that steeple. And the reason behind that is because of a story. I know many of you have heard this story, but I know there's a lot of new people here, and you haven't heard this story, and you need to know the story. Across the street from our church building several years ago, Salvation Army ran a program called First Choice. It was a program to help women and children who were struggling with drug and alcohol addiction. And up until that point, we really had no connection with that program at all until one Sunday morning when a lady named Jane Pearson walked across the street and came to church here. And in my humble opinion, I think in that moment when she walked across the street, God's Spirit worked to change our church. Because when she came here, we realized, we had some key leaders who realized that there are people who are hurting and who are broken, and they're right across the street. And the mission field is not just in Ecuador and just in Ukraine and just in Croatia and all parts of the world. It is there, but it's also in the city. And so we had members who started to engage that program and teach the Bible to the women there and be an influence on the women there. And just as a footnote, we have some women who were touched at that time through that program who are still faithful to Christ. Becky Aldrich is a great example of that. But as we were engaged in that program trying to bless those women's lives, there was a moment where we were working on our steeple, doing something to it, and because of that, the light, the blue light that comes out of our steeple was off. And when the women went over to teach their Bible class, the women at first choice said, "What happened to the steeple? What happened to the light in the steeple? Is it, are y'all not going to have it on anymore?" And I said, no, we're just having some work done on our steeple. It'll be back up here in just a little bit. They said, "Oh, that's good." Because they said, when we get on our knees at night to pray, we turn towards that steeple. Because to us, that light gives us hope. It gives us hope. And so for us as a church, that has become our symbol. That's what we want to be. Present in the city. Faithful. Giving hope. Shining light to those that are around us. Even to the darkest corners of the neighborhood and saying, "There's hope here. There is hope here. And it's found in Jesus. And we're here to welcome you. We're here to embrace you. We're here to invite you into that wonderful hope." And my prayer is that for this church, that will always be our focus. That we will always be committed to being a light to the city. Let's pray together. God, we come to you and we acknowledge that the city is scary. And urbanization can be frightening. When we think about all the differences and all the diversity and all the different backgrounds and beliefs and value systems, and Lord, there are occasions, especially for those of us who grew up in rural areas, there are occasions where we just kind of want to run back to the farm, where things seem a whole lot simpler. But Lord, your word begins in a garden, but it ends in a city, in New Jerusalem. And you are the Lord of history, and somehow, in your wisdom, people are moving to cities. You're bringing the world to cities. And even here in Fort Worth, we can touch so many different nations, tribes, and tongues just by being present in the city. And so, Lord, give us the courage and the boldness and the vision to be a church that embraces our city and loves our city. And seeks to be that faithful presence that seeks the shalom of Fort Worth, seeks to be a light to those that need hope. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And if you agree, say amen. Amen.